You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
There was an idea. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
This is The Tribe, brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and The Diz Insider.
Avengers!
Assemble.
Whoa, welcome to The Tribe. It's a very exciting episode because, you know, you get this really cool little intimate little podcast with just me and the podcast princess, the famed country twang, Sam.
Oh, gosh. Hi.
How's your week?
I have had fun with a lot of Mickey's little nephews running around my school, so that's been interesting. Oh. But other than that, it's been a great week so far. I am ready for Friday, though. Ready for the weekend.
Oh yeah, I'm actually ready for freaking X-Men to come out already and stuff.
I am too. So, actually, I was thinking about this yesterday morning. My daughter asked me when we were getting ready for breakfast. She's like, "Mom, when's the next MCU movie going to be in theaters?" And I was like, "I don't think it's until
Deadpool.
The next Cat movie." Or when does Deadpool come out?
Jeez, put me on the spot.
That's okay, because I was like thinking like the next.
I think it's May 20 something, but.
I forgot about Deadpool when she asked me, and I went straight to the next Cat movie, and I was like, wait, that's in like February of next year. I don't think we can wait that long.
Yeah, no, July 26 is when Deadpool 3 comes out. So,
all right, so thankfully I'm not having to wait until next
winter. She might have to wait. I mean, I don't know if you should screen at first.
Oh, I said me. No, she's not going to see Deadpool. Not going to see Deadpool, but it got me a little sad when she asked me. So for her, I'll just be like, listen, we're going to go see any other children's movie in the theater and she'll be fine. She just wants to go to the movies because we haven't been in like a month. So we usually go every weekend. So we haven't been in like a month because there's not been anything that we really wanted to go see. So
now, I'm sure our audience, well, I don't know if our audience knows, but you live somewhere in the middle of America, kind of in the old-timey part of the state. Do you still have drive-in theaters out there?
I have never been to a drive-in theater.
What?
No.
Dang.
Our theaters are like, they have full bars and people playing pianos in the lobby and the chairs recline fully and are heated and they bring your food to your seat.
Okay. So,
a bougie movie experience.
Early 2000s. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we're catching up a little bit.
We're catching up a little bit with the times and stuff. You got where your seats shake and you got the vibrations and stuff. When the movie,
probably if you're in one of the, if you're in like one of the, IMAX ones, like the four, whatever it is, I don't even know, 4D, whatever. Yeah. But I don't really like to do those. And we have like the same seats we always like to sit in. It's a whole thing, but
I think it might be more of a generational thing too. I mean, not too many people from your generation heard of drive-in theaters or even, you know, been around one. They've been closed them down a long, long time ago and stuff. So
I think we still have one like 45 minutes to an hour away, but it's also cold here.
There's that factor too. So,
So how are you doing this?
I'm good. I'm juked about our topic. We're going to be talking about X-Men 97. I get to kind of relive my youth because I am a child of I say I'm a child of both the 80s and 90s. So I am definitely I'm an 80s baby, but I am a child of the 90s. And I was a big, big X-Men fan. Loved the cartoon. Watched it every episode when it came out and stuff. So,
I guess this is my confession time then, because this is probably one of my weaker aspects as far as talking about Marvel Comics and talking about Marvel media, because I did not watch the show growing up. I've seen the show. I've seen episodes of the show on Disney Plus, and I enjoy it. And I don't know a whole lot about the X-Men. I had tons of X-Men comic books in my house growing up. I've seen like the Wolverine movies and all of that. So I know the basis, but it's not something I ever dove deep into. So this is an incredibly new experience for me. And I'm excited to learn more and just kind of like just jump head first and
heck yeah,
immerse myself in the X-Men world over here.
So, well, let's do it. So, first of all, I mean, for those of you who kind of don't follow X-Men, I recommend our recap isn't really going to do justice. We're just going to kind of talk about it as a whole and talk about what we expect from X-Men 97, which we kind of know is going to be a continuation. But the good thing about this is this show is going to be a great companion piece for the actual catch-up show, because you can literally watch it on Disney Plus right now. And I don't know, it's commercial free. You can power through. They're like about 18 to 22 minutes per episode. And there's 5 seasons. I think the last season, you could start with the last season, but I would recommend you just kind of go through the whole, the
if whole you're gonna entire, do it, do catalog. It right.
Yeah, go through the whole catalog. But it's between, I would say it fluctuates between like, between 10 to even 22 episodes a season. They did it big on like, I think season 3, the last season they did 10 and then they're done. And that
how
was
how many seasons did we say they were?
5. There's 5 seasons.
Okay. Just making sure. Do we want to talk about how the last season ends? Kind of
where
it's going to be picking up? Because I do know a little bit about that. So we basically get to see the...
So the overarching... There's an overarching kind of theme to the X-Men. But there are a lot of just kind of one-off episodes and stuff. There's a few that have continuation episodes and stuff. But the overarching theme of X-Men is the fact that X-Men are... outsiders. They're kind of treated and discriminated against, and because of that, this is kind of the main focal point for Professor Xavier, who is trying to kind of bridge the gap between mutants and humans. And then you have Magneto, who is his equal opposite, who is sick and tired of being treated like the other. You know, otherism is not his bag. He knows for a fact we're more powerful than human beings and stuff. So he always off doing villainous shit. Now, so with that said, they still have kind of this love-hate relationship and stuff. They really are kind of like this brotherly kind of connection between the two of them. In fact, the only reason why Magneto even wears the helmet and stuff, because he doesn't want Xavier to get inside of his head. So it shields him from Professor X's ability to kind of, control your mind and see, reveal your thoughts and then enter your head and stuff. But for the most part, he's out there trying to build up a legion to take on the humans. And Xavier is trying to not only kind of help mutants have a safe place, because the world is kind of cruel, but also kind of bridge the gap between the humans and mutants and stuff. And so
I think that was something that the animated series did very different than the films is because we got to see there were supporters. There were human supporters of the mutant race, and not every individual, like in the movies, there were not very many supporters of the human race. There were a lot of people who are just incredibly fearful of the mutants and hated them. And the animated series, we do get to see that there are supporters. There are people who are curious and interested and allies.
And then there's giant, dickheads like Gyrick, who is
and Trask, right?
Yes, who's trying to push forward the mutant legislation and stuff. He really wanted to. It's the mutant containment bill, and they're trying to eradicate our jail mutants and stuff. And so he's complete trash. So
I think that we're going. So from what we've seen in the trailers, we're seeing a funeral scene a bit. Mm-hmm. And we have humans that are there in those scenes. So I think they're going to carry that energy over into X-Men 97. And we are going to still see that there are more human supporters coming into the picture.
Absolutely.
But I know you're getting there. You're getting there.
You're fine.
But if who they're trying to convince us is gone is actually gone, I think it's going to be harder to keep human supporters. But with who is now going to be in charge of the school. So, David, do you want to explain that part so I'm not talking in code over here?
Yeah. Well, let me do a quick recap of just the last episode that's about to leak, because this is the continuation. Basically, this last episode, we have Gyrick, who is on the house floor on national TV, just giving his really, really slighted opinions about mutants and he's really Fox Newsing all of the accomplishments and all of the issues and stuff. Some of the scenarios where their mutants are saving people, he's saying they're terrorists and they're attacking and everything else. And then here comes Professor Xavier out of the corner, calling him out, calling him a task, rightfully so. And this is where Gyrick just kind of flips his lid, and he shoots Professor Xavier with this pulse beam thing, and virtually kills him. Ish. He's so for those who don't know, so Wolverine and Cyclops. And Beast is at this event that Gyrick is speaking at. So they rush to the stage while Gyrick shoots Professor Xavier with his beam. He's losing his powers. We actually seen it happen in Logan, where he was in a hotel and he just lost control of his powers, and everybody was just freaking out and in slow motion, and their brains were I love the fact that they are able to manifest that in live action screen, because that's exactly what happened here. They end up, the cops taking Gyrick away. Wolverine bends down and he's feeling for a pulse and everything else, and it's he's gone. Beast refused to believe that, so they're let's take him back to the base and hook him up and to our medical pod and everything else, and they do, and he has a little bit of brainwave activity, but for the most part he's pretty much DOA. Now with that said, he has this relationship, I guess. Lilandra is her name, from a different planet. Their technology is way more superior than ours. So they figure if they can figure out how they can get him to connect to her, maybe she can come down and save them. But here's the thing. Even his communication back and forth with her takes almost a year to go back and forth. So they needed something a little bit more powerful, electromagnetic boost, which Mr. Electromagnetic himself would be great at helping them do that, but you have to convince Magneto, or Magnus, mm-hmm. as he's called, to actually help and want to help Xavier. So they devise a plan to go grab Magneto. Magneto, now because of Charles was attacked on national TV, mutants are fed up and they want blood. They want revenge. Mm-hmm. They all kind of came to Magneto and said, lead us. They're chanting, lead us. We're ready to take over this planet. They just did the one person who looks human, who acts human, who's been successful, who's trying to help mutants and humans bridge. And they attacked them on national TV. So we're done. What's hoping, you know, what's the hope for us and stuff? And this was exactly what Magneto was waiting for. And literally he could have brought the world down to his knees, but the X-Men intervened and they begged him and compelled him, like, he's your friend. Would you, you may be the only person on this planet that can save his life. So he's like, yeah, all right, cool. He didn't say it like that. I mean, there's a little fighting and, you know, reluctance and stuff, but he goes and he,
and then there was a beam me up Scotty moment.
Yep. And didn't know it worked until Lilandra came down and virtually he actually woke up and he said, this is the part that as a kid kind of got me because he was going around the room of all the X-Men in the room and stuff and giving them his final goodbyes and stuff, you know, telling Wolverine, you've been a loner, but you found a family here, you know, you're a savage beast, but you know, your heart, you know, is open and, you know, Rogue, you could never touch anyone, but you touched all of our hearts. Like, even Morph, who came back from season one, who died in season one, came back, who's the shapeshifter who played Xavier and who also was a villain for a little while, but you know, he's working on his own shit. Absolutely. And just, I mean, it was just heartfelt. Everyone got a personal last message from Charles Xavier. And then, you know, Lilandra took him with her. He did say, while I may not be with you guys physically, I will always be with you in spirit, and kind of left us with that little cliffhanger. Now we have the 97 trailer. Looks like it's picking up right where it's off, because right where it left off, because now we have Magnus or Magneto at Professor X's school
for X left him the school.
Yeah, and he basically pulled out the last will and testament of Charles Xavier saying, check this out, he left me everything. So now this isn't unheard of in the comics. He does actually run the school for, you know, and he does good stuff with it and stuff, carry on Charles' wishes. But we'll see, because here's the thing. A lot has happened in the past 30 years from the initial run of X-Men till now with the Marvel Universe and everything else. And one thing I know about X-Men is they were great at expanding their universe. I mean, we had Spider-Man, Thor, we had Iron Man, did we have Black Panther in there too? They just expanded their universe within the X-Men universe. So now that we pretty much have rights to almost everybody and everything, they may start looking at some updated characters to expand to make this even more canon to the current MCU, including, in my opinion, I think it's going to inform some of the current upcoming Avenger type movies and stuff. So I don't know. I'm excited for me.
I don't want standalone Marvel pieces. Mm-mm. I like when everything fits into the timeline and it is informing other things, then they're all interconnected. That is what gets me to my super geek out point where I am bursting at the seams with excitement. Yep. Like a standalone film where it's not connected to anything else and I know it's not informing anything further, it's just whatever to me. It's whatever. Yep. I want it to feed me into something else.
Oh, 100%. So. 100%. In fact, we actually seen this from cartoon to real life, like with the What If series and with Captain Carter. And we got to see Captain Carver in another universe. And
Dr. Hopefully Shuri. We get Kahori, because as you said that, I was just thinking like how we talked about what a shame it would be for them to introduce Kahori, who's not a comic book character.
Yep.
She was created specifically for What If. Yep. If they did not translate her over into the MCU outside of the What If series,
it'd be a waste.
That would be tragic, an absolute tragedy.
I agree.
At this point, everything can inform each other. We have the channels to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Like, okay, I know people don't like the Marvels, some people. I like it. Ish. I think Ms. Marvel was the saving grace for that for that movie. But there is a scene.
I like the characters. I did not like the way they put everything together. I'm gonna say that.
I don't disagree with that. But there is a scene where Monica Rambeau goes into another universe, and we see X-Men Hank, Mr. Beast himself. Now, I was going with the fact that since we saw the cartoon Captain Carter, and then we saw the real life Captain Carter in another universe, maybe this Beast is from this X-Men 97 universe, and we may get to see that play out in this season or the next season, because there's two seasons that has been picked up guaranteed by Disney, Disney Plus here.
Those are the guarantees, but in a few moments, we're going to get to another topic about someone who was let go from the project, and they were already working on the third season.
So yes, we'll definitely get to that, and it's actually coming up next. So one of the things I'm super excited for, they've brought back a lot of the voice actors. There's a few, I agree with the change. There's a few changes, like so Jubilee was kind of an androgynous character. Like she's supposed to be an Asian character, but they made her kind of like not so much. And what they decided to do is we want to really kind of go into make her features a little bit more Asian. And they hired, then this they did replace with the blessing of the previous voice actor, an actual Asian voice actor to voice Jubilee. So I'm glad that they made those changes. They changed some of the graphics and everything else with the show overall, but still has that kind of 90s feel to it. So,
and I'm excited that they're doing this in as an animated feature and not doing it as a film, like live action, like a live action series, because they could have easily have said, hey, we're going to do an X-Men continuation, do it for X-Men 97, but it's going to be live action instead. I think that for this storyline and to connect the comic audience, doing it as an animated feature is like the best route they could have gone. Yep. And like we have so much more technology as far as animation goes now. And like you're saying, they can better define the characters. They're going to be able to show us the characters in a different light because we have new technology that we didn't have in 92.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I can't wait. And, you know, I mean, there's some questions, too, about like Jean Grey is.
I don't think it's Jean Grey.
Jean Grey is pregnant. If it's not Jean Grey, it's her clone. Either way, one of them is pregnant, and so one of them has baby Grey, or they have Cable. Because for those who don't know, Cable is Cyclops' son from the future.
Because Jean Grey and Nathan Cyclops, they had a whole mess of issues trying to. To conceive. So he had a baby with a Jean Grey lookalike named Madeline Pryor, and that is who Cable is.
Here's my thing. I want them to retcon that and make Cable actually the real Jean Grey and Cyclops's kid. We don't have to add more confusion about clones and what the hell was his name? Mr. Sinister and all. We can just clean it up a little bit, button up, Rick on it. We've done it before, so we can do it again. So make Cable, if it's Cable, you know, that's the baby. It's Jean's and Cyclops's kiddo.
So we just get rid of the Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor lookalike clone.
Yeah, forget that story arc.
I'm done with that.
We can do whatever we want. It's a new day.
That's why, like, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, that's not Jean Grey. That's not Jean Grey. I said, that's not a Jean Grey. They're playing with us here. But if they could, like you're saying, they could write it however they want to. Mm-hmm. Oh, and 100%. So if they did that, I would love, like, I would love for Cable to be the product of Nathan and Jean. Would love that.
Versus Nathan and the clone. So, but, and so here's some of the cool things that I'm actually looking forward to that they, I forgot that, that we've actually seen live action versions of these characters and stuff, which is why I think they're really are going to connect the dots here. So like when they're on the X-Wing and we see the X-Jet and they see, and we see, some of the characters from the X-Men, and we see a Caliban, who most people don't really know. He's a really pale mutant looking person. Caliban, his power is to track and find other mutants. We've seen him in Logan. He's the super like Uncle Fester complected looking person that was with
very God the Gore the God Butcher-esque.
Yes, very, very much giving Gore, but a lot more nerdier. But yeah, he was in there. That's the live action version of him and stuff. And so I'm really hoping that they don't disconnect this. I feel they're going to connect it, and because it makes sense. We've seen the cartoon and real live action connection and stuff already with What If. Thank you for that. So you have everyone's attention on how you can kind of explain and build in this new storyline. Yeah. For the Marvel Universe, so while we're talking about that, and we talked about, there's two seasons that are definitely in the can here. One's done. The writing, there's some controversy around season two going into season three. We don't really know, and there's a lot of speculations. And I tried to do my research on this, but the showrunner and writer, Bo DeMeo, is no longer with the project, and it comes out next week. So he was abruptly they parted ways. His social medias, he took them down, deleted some posts. Disney's being somewhat silent about the separation.
And I mean, like, his team had no idea. Like, they're like, one day his he just showed up and his email was gone, and we were told he was gone. His Instagram was gone, where he was posting lots of X-Men content. For anybody who doesn't know, Bo DeMeo also worked on Moon Knight and Blade.
Yep. Yes.
So what do we think happened?
I don't know. I heard rumors. I go one side of the internet, and there's rumors and controversy about, you know, there's some directions on some of the characters, and they're just not seeing eye to eye with what Disney wants. And
I don't buy that.
The other side, yeah. And then on the other side of the spectrum is that, there's some issues with, financial packages and contracts and everything else. So I don't know. And I'm not going to jump out and speculate and put something out there. Like, yeah, I think it's definitely this, because here's the truth. No one's talking.
And if that is their business to tell, we can only speculate. And honestly, what's the point? Because if we don't know the truth, we don't want to spread misinformation.
Yeah.
But we can say it probably was not a happy parting with the way that it ended, with the fact that he didn't get a chance to say, "Hey team, I'm leaving." Mm-hmm. He's not happy. And I'm assuming it's him that's not happy. And he left on his accord is what I'm going to go with, because he removed his own Instagram.
Oh yeah. So
Disney could not make him remove his personal Instagram account.
If you want to hear from me what I think is coming next from this little episode is lawyers are going to be involved. Because, I mean, that's all I can say is I think there's going to be lawyers involved. And so maybe more will come to light as to what's going on and stuff with this.
But you want to know the great thing about that? As fans, the content is produced for us to consume, as awful as that sounds, and we can let Disney legal deal with that, and that doesn't have to be something that we stress over, because
it doesn't delay. It's coming out, we get our 10 seasons. We are 10 episodes for this first season,
two of them coming out a week from today.
Yes. Yeah. So, which we're going to be talking about.
We're recording this on March 14th. Yep. So Thursday, March 14th. So next week, 2-episode premiere. And then it appears that there's going to be 1 episode every following week until they get to episode 10. Yep. And yeah, as David was just saying, we're going to be covering all of those on the tribe. Yeah. We're going to be deep diving, you know, doing our usual vibey. I'm super excited for that because I get to learn more and digest, and we always have fun speculating.
And so. I get to fanboy out. And this is why I think we're a dynamic group here, because we also have Lou, who likes to kind of bring people in real, you know, kind of with the logic and stuff. And so I like to fan. I do, you know, I don't know the proper term for pixie dusting Marvel stuff, but I like Marvel.
That's the thing. That is the thing with both you and I.
Yep. Yep,
we're the same way. We're just like, no, it's fantastic. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's great. We love it. And then Lou's the realist. He's like, well, what about this? Oh, and he brings us back down and we have these great conversations. And that's just a dynamic that is hard to find on a Marvel podcast.
Absolutely.
We've got a vibe that is unmatched. I'm going to say that. And if you're another Marvel podcast, we appreciate you. We're not hating on you, but we just love
you. You're okay.
Stop. But we make magic over here and we have fun with what we're doing. And I think that is what is telling our show over here. So
here's what I want to ask you. In this season, what cameo characters do you think we will see?
So that is a hard one for me because I don't know a lot. I can't think of his name.
Sentry? Who? Wait, what?
No, Sun something. What's his name?
I don't. While you're thinking of it, I'll tell you who I'm.
Go ahead. I'm gonna Google his name because I don't want to say it. Sunburst.
Oh, Sunburst. Okay.
Oh, Sunfire. Right? Is that it? Sunfire. Sunfire.
That could be a character. I don't know that character.
He's an X-Men character in the comics, but I don't think we've seen him yet. So
I don't know that character. Surprisingly, say. And so I'm happy to always admit I am not the in-house expert on everything. I'm just a comic book fan like everybody else, and I do have my limitations. I'm gonna say Spider-Man. Here's why, I think we're going to see Spider-Man because and I don't think we're going to see it because they're like, hey, let's give them Spider-Man. I think they're going to do it because there's a strategic play between Disney and Sony. Because here's a little background. So Sony owns the rights currently for Spider-Man. Spider-Man can come into an ensemble group, the live action and stuff with the partnership that they have with Disney and Sony. But the animated Spider-Man is owned by Disney, Marvel Studios, with written into the contract that the animated Spider-Man and the characters, all that are licensed to Sony, can be in any animated show as long as the runtime is under 44 minutes. I kid you not, this is literally in their contract. So Spider-Man, Venom, Morbius, all of those live-action characters, the cartoon versions of them, can show up in animated form as long as the runtime is under 44 minutes.
Do you know why I think that's what we're getting?
Go ahead.
Because in the trailer, we saw the Daily Bugle.
Peter Parker, yep. Yep. Not only that, there was
there's comic book lines where Spider-Man is part of X-Men. Like, he's not part of them, but he has timelines, like not timelines, but he has interactions with X-Men.
Yep. Oh yeah. So we saw a little Easter egg with Peter Parker, and I think we saw there's a Hellfire Gala. I think we saw the writer of that story was Eddie Brock, who was Venom, and the photographer was Peter Parker. So I think we're going to get a little bit more than just name dropping here, because we can do what we want as Marvel Studios, as Disney, and there you might as well, because I think honestly Disney is itching to just get Spider-Man back into their fold. Madam Web didn't do Sony any favors.
No, it was absolutely awful.
When it comes to Marvel properties and stuff, so Disney could just say, you know what, we're going to make a play here, and we're going to put Spider-Man in. We're going to have fans love the animated version, introduce them to the X-Men. I think they're just going to do this as a business thing. So
I have a question. In more recent comic books, mm-hmm. hasn't Kevin Feige been written into Hellfire Gala stories? Like, hasn't like Kevin Feige has been written as a character into Hellfire Gala?
I honestly don't know.
I feel like I read that somewhere. We'll have to research it and come back to you guys.
We will come back.
We're going to be talking about this for the next 10 weeks after this. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Nine weeks at least.
But Marvel X-Men comic, X-Men animated show content.
Speaking of comics, David.
Oh my God. Yes. So for those
you
who
like that are, transition,
I love it. For those who are comic book lovers, you're going to love the fact that Steve Fox, who is a Marvel writer, who wrote it's called the X-Men Prelude Comics. It's a 4-issue that is coming out alongside of the animated series. Now, if some of your comic book stores, and I love promoting comic book stores, you can go out there today or whenever you hear this and go pick up issue number one and kind of read along with what the prelude comics are for this season. So he did four issues. I'm definitely getting them. I'm going
to
get them.
Now that I know, I'm going to go tomorrow and go to my local comic book shop and see if they have them.
Absolutely. And for those who are like digital comic book readers, you can go to marvel.com and you can just buy and download the comic book. Unless you got a subscription, then I think you can get it for free later. But I'm not sure. It really kind of depends on your subscription.
But get it now and enjoy it while we're consuming the content.
Absolutely. So we're about to enter the era of animation because between 2021 and up to recent, we've only had one animated series, which was the What If, and now I think we're gonna get probably about like 4 or 5 in the next 5 to 6 years that are Marvel content. So I don't know about you, but when young kids and adults consume the cartoon stuff, they're usually lean towards going to the comic book shops more so than the live action movies and stuff. It's just kind of weird how that works, but it works. So get those comic books, the Prelude comics for the X-Men 97 series. And I'm guaranteed it's going to be a.
So what do? I just go into my comic book shop and I'm like, hey, I want the Prelude comics for the X-Men 97 series.
So you go in your comic book shop, you tell them the Blurred Hulk and the Podcast Princess sent you. And the comic book store owners are going to be like, who? And may not even give you a discount, but you can always ask for a 10%.
But no, what you do when you tell them Blurred Hulk and the Podcast Princess sent me, and they're like, who? You say, here's the link to their show. It's called The Tribe. They're part of the A Light in the Wind, the Productions, Walt's Apartment Podcast family. Mm-hmm. And you should share this with everybody that comes into your comic book shop because they're fantastic and we love them. So do that for us if you want to help us out because you love what we do as much as we do. Go ahead, go into your local comic book shop and be like, "Yo,
and don't
podcast. They're fantastic."
And don't ask for a discount. They're mom and pop stores. They need every penny they can get.
They do, and honestly, comic books are very fairly priced.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, some of them are a bit outrageous. Those are the ones like on the wall behind the cash register, and you're like, let me see that $700 comic book you have back there. I am not buying those. But
some people do, but not everybody. That's not for everybody.
No.
But yeah, support your local comic book shops and stuff, and go get it. It's a great time to pick up and start. If you've never read a comic book, it's a good time to start. Go pick it up. It's a great series to start with, and it continues on with. I mean, it goes along with what's coming out and stuff.
And so we'll be referring to them as we talk through the episodes of this season. When we do our deep dives on each episode, we'll, you know, talk about what we pulled in from the comic books and what we pulled in from the episodes, because we're not just all things MCU or Disney Plus. We're also from the comics. So we're bringing you the best of both worlds here. So
absolutely.
If you want to hang with the tribe, that's a little extra homework we can give to you that is going to be enjoyable for you to do.
So with that said, I just want to say this: the biggest unanswered question is Professor X really, really dead? And I'm gonna be honest, I think he kind of is. I think he is. I know they took him away to the planet, and I forgot the name of it, but with his girl, but. I don't think they were able to save him, and he, you know, and the news came back, and he really is gone. So this is going to be Magneto, Mr. Magnus. This is going to be his show. He's going to be the head of the school. Cyclops still the leader of the X-Men, and oh my God, I can't tell you the redemption I see coming from Cyclops. Some of you fans, and this is how I'm going to know you're not a real Marvel fan. You're going to be like, why is Cyclops such an alpha? Like he's like charged with everything. Like I thought that's Wolverine's job. Nope. Wrong. Sorry. Cyclops is the leader of the X-Men, rightfully so. He is the strategic badass, a hero that he actually is, and he was not portrayed in the Fox versions of the X-Men. They went with Logan. They had a great actor in Hugh Jackman, and they just ran with it, and Wolverine became the main star of that. But the truth be told, Cyclops is the guy, and he's that guy. He is. And we get to see that. I know it's going to be the case. And when we get the live action X-Men, I think they're going to do justice to the live action X-Men and stuff. So I'm super excited for it. We get to kind of retcon some of the fiasco stuff that Fox did, especially the last movie, I don't want to talk about Dark Phoenix. The garbage, the garbage fire. But yeah, it's all, everything came back home. Marvel Studios, Disney owns all the rights. And we have X-Men Fantastic Four, which also we may get maybe we get a cameo from Fantastic Four.
I'm good with feeding Fantastic Four in everywhere we can with it coming up. But there's one more thing I want to talk to you about before we conclude recording tonight.
Let's do it.
Did you know that it was Agatha all along? So we finally have what appears to be an official name for the Agatha Harkness series coming to Disney Plus, and it is just Agatha. We have had so many name changes. So many name changes, but it appears that they're settling on Agatha. What do you think, David?
I'm gonna be honest. I think the name piece is all about the marketing side. I care more about the content. I don't care what they call the name.
Why do you think they've changed?
It's kind of weird that they changed. It's weird. It is weird.
But I have a question. Would you say it's kind of chaos?
A little chaotic, yeah, because it's like makeup
and maybe there might be some chaos magic involved.
I don't think as much credit as I give the marketing department for Marvel stuff, overall marketing at Disney is, I don't know if they would ever they're that meta. I don't think they're.
So I'm going to take the credit for that then.
Yeah.
Disney, I just gave you credit you didn't earn. You're welcome.
Nope, not at all. So I really think it's some, I have no idea. I don't even care. To me, it's like there's a finished book report and you're giving us different titles and stuff. And I don't care about the titles. I really care about the content of the story and if it's a good story or not. So.
And they provided us one damn good story when they first introduced Agatha to us during WandaVision.
WandaVision? Yes. Still, to
the reignited the spark for so many of us, especially when it comes to deep diving Disney Plus content. That is like, that's how I joined the tribe. I was like, no, I'm watching WandaVision and I'm so geeked and I want to talk about it. And you're like, come on the tribe. And I've been here ever since.
Man, the breaking down for that, I think that's when we did our best detective work. I mean, that really set the stage for us where, I mean, we're, you know, theorizing and breaking and looking at everything. Like, what is that?
Is that Mephisto?
Is that the color? I know it's black and white, but I saw a hint of color there. Like,
saw a little bit of red.
we deep dived and it was fun. It really was. And it kind of sparked. It really kind of added more life to the show. And we followed that same formula for future Marvel content.
Maybe I added life to the show. Can I have a little bit of credit? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you can have a little bit of credit. I say it's like 90-10. It was 90-10 as far as the energy combo. Me 90, of course. She got 10. yeah, you asked for a little bit of credit. You got a little bit of credit. But no, it was a good show. It really kind of sparked us on how we kind of run down the shows. We kind of ran it like it was a murder mystery podcast, really kind of uncovering all of the little nuggets and stuff. And sometimes, actually, I think we got more right than we did wrong on the speculations and what was going to happen and stuff. So
because we called Photon before she was Photon.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We sure did.
But we do that. We do that here on the tribe. Like, we call out stuff and we're like, well, there you go.
And I'm going to be honest. I still think Mephisto was there. They just changed some stuff on in the last second because Mephisto is the devil and it wouldn't play well internationally. But I think they had every intentions on making Mephisto a part of that. So I don't care what anyone says.
And I don't care what anybody else says. We will get Mephisto at some point in the MCU. It's going to happen. He's going to be there. So I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say about X-Men 97 before we close out? Because we're going to be back next week, next weekend with a recap of the 2-season premiere. It comes out on Thursday. So we're going to come back. We're going to feed y'all what we got. If you want to let us know what you thought, go ahead, hit us up on our social media, join our Patreon, Walt's Apartment Podcast on Patreon. Yep. You get access to our Discord. You can chat with us there. Yep. You can find us like Blurred Hulk. You can find on social media, Sammy_Mlo, Sunken City Designs for Lewis. Find us, chat with us, let us know what you think, and we'll bring your thoughts into the show too. We love that. So feel the pulse in your chest. That's all I got. Are you ready? You ready for me to close this out?
Do the close out.
Feel the pulse in your chest so you know you're alive. One team, one love.
It's the tribe.
We'll see you next time.